Well, take your Bible and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. And I want to read one verse and then share with you just briefly. Then we're going to move into a business session time for a few minutes, adopt our new budget, and celebrate a little bit of what's going on through the year. And then we'll go over and have a fellowship time in the 6, 7, and 8 building tonight. I was back here in the hallway. The choir's been here since 3 o'clock today, getting ready. They've been practicing, getting ready for this tour and other things they got going on, and probably a little Easter in there and all that stuff. So they're exhausted. But I was walking out, and one of the choir members came by and said, "Do you just make up stuff to have a party?" I said, "Yeah, that's what I do." I said, "Because we need to celebrate a little bit every now and then." And she laughed. But as I got to thinking back, and that 10,000 days for me being your pastor fell on this Sunday, when I looked at it, I began to think back to 1990. I'm in Texas minding my own business, and a search committee gets in touch with me. This church got my name because Jack Price, a minister of music, wrote my name on a Wendy's napkin in a restaurant and gave it to somebody that gave it to the committee here. That's how my name got here. The Lord went through that restaurant and used a guy to give it to a fella. Then the church called me and we talked and we went through and back and forth. And so in October of 1990, Liz and I and two little kids came here. I never forget driving over here. Spent the first night down here at the Holiday Inn at what used to be University Mall. It was Halloween and there were kids everywhere. But I remember driving by Dolphin Way Baptist Church in Mobile. We came by, you know, kind of sits up on that hill. When it's lit up at night, if you've ever been by that, it's a beautiful, beautiful acreage at campus at night. And I remember telling Liz, we were going by, I said, "You know, darling, if we go work hard, we can have a church like that one of these days. If you go over there and look, I'm telling you, they're scuffling. They've been through two or three separations and breakups, and it's been hard. One of my dear friends from New Orleans Seminary is over there, and one of our own is on their staff now, Keith Taylor, who came through here as a Marine pilot and went to New Orleans. He's now the executive pastor, Dr. Stan, over with them at Dolphin Way. But, boy, they've struggled. I'm simply telling you, never take your church being blessed for granted. You got to guard the unity and continue to do the work of evangelism and disciple making as you build a family. But every organization, this organization, your family, where you work, anywhere you are, everything has seasons in its life. And for me, being here these 27 and a half years, there have been varied seasons that we walk through. We don't just walk through them once. You walk through them again and again, just like a year. We've just entered into spring here in our area. That's why all your cars are yellow. And that's the season of the year. We're in the yellow season right now, all right? And you know it. It's all over. But listen to what the Word of God says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. There is an appointed time. The King James says there is a what? A season. There is a season. There is an appointed time, that period of time for everything. And there is a time for every event under heaven. There are seasons. There's a time for everything. And we walk through those seasons. I want to give you four seasons in your life. Ladies, you live at the Karras house. You're going to walk through these four seasons in your life. Kelly, at the insurance agency, you walk through these four seasons in your business. Wherever you are, you walk through this. Everybody does. I do, you, your family, your business. There are four seasons, and we all walk through them. I'm going to give them to you tonight, 1, 2, 3, 4. And you'll go through, the longer you stay somewhere, the more times you'll go through these cycles. So let's look at them. Number one, if you're going to be faithful in every season, you must first learn to handle winter. You've got to handle the winters that come. Because winter comes. Winter comes every year. Every year. It gets cold, stuff dies, you don't have to cut the grass. Can I get an amen? And you go dormant. As you know, I spoke in Philadelphia on Friday. Well, on Wednesday, we didn't think we were going because they got 8 inches of snow on the first day of spring. It was nuts. It was cold. It was the end of winter. When you walk through winter, you must learn to handle winter because it comes. In your life, in your business, in your church, you have those seasons that are dormant. What must you do to handle that? You must learn one word. Persist, 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 persist. When winter is here, you must persist because bless God, spring is a-coming. She comes every year. Every year, spring does come, but winter, you got to learn to handle the winter. When you don't see growth, when it's dormant, when it's dark, it's cold, you just don't see fruitfulness. You preach your guts out and you teach and you give the invitation and they stand there and look at you like, huh? It's winter. We all walk through winter. You got to learn to handle winter because it's coming. A lot of people decide to leave where they work during winter. I don't mean the cold season. I mean when it gets winter in their cycle. So I'm going to go to another place. I'll go to another company. I'll go to another church. Guess what? They have winter over there too. Have winter everywhere you go. You got to learn to handle the winters, and you got to persist through the winters. Secondly, you must learn to take advantage of springtime. Learn to take advantage of springtime. Because when spring comes, momentum comes. There is new life, and it's alive, and birds are singing. And things are beginning to push out new growth, and it's springtime. In a church, you preach a sermon, it's the sorriest thing you ever preach, and you look up, and here come seven people and give their heart and life to Christ. It's springtime. God's at work. You didn't do anything different except persist through the winter, and all of a sudden, God gives springtime, and here it comes. Spring comes in a church, and I've watched it here at varied times. You get new momentum. Sometimes when you build a building, when we built this building, we built momentum. We built that children's building down there. We got momentum. And unbelievable momentum has come through this 6, 7, and 8 building out here. That's the best facility we've built since I've been here. That is a grand facility. It's being used by the community and our church. But when you do that, you pick up momentum. Building brings momentum. You don't have to build a building. You can build people. You build a lot. But when there's something under construction, it's a springtime in your life. Staff change in a church often brings momentum. I just talked about John coming. John came here, and he stands on Leo's shoulders. He built momentum. When Leo came, he was standing on Brother Vernon's shoulders, and he built momentum. Brother Sean came, built momentum. John Lowe came, part of 5 years ago today, built momentum. When you have staff that comes, you have those cycles and changes. It's a momentum builder. When you have new staff, oftentimes you'll see the spring come. Then when you have a stirring of the Spirit that you cannot understand. I'm not talking about a revival on the schedule. I'm just talking about when the breath of God breathes on a church. And friends, if you seek Him and cry out to Him, then the breath of God comes. We saw this with a solemn assembly when we met here a few years ago with Pace Assembly. Then we saw another breath when we went downtown to the Bay Center. And we put those 5,000 people there. There was a breath of God in that seeking. Not only in the prayer time, but what the community saw. As a matter of fact, you need to pray for our good friend, Joey Rogers. His wife Rita's in the hospital tonight. Had a blood clot yesterday. and had to have it removed. As a matter of fact, one of our members was the doctor that removed the blood clot. And I talked to Joey yesterday, saying, I'm praying for Rita. And I said, that's one of our guys taking care of you. And you'll be in good hands. And he texts me back. He said, I don't think he's a Baptist. He prayed over us and spoke in tongues. I think he's Assembly of God guy. I said, I'm going to tell him to pull the plug on your wife. That's what I said. I said, when you have that kind of, you know, when God just does it. And there's a breath. When Eddie Ashari moved into our church, when God saved him, it was one of those momentum changes. It was springtime. It just brought that. When we started the Karis House, that was a springtime movement. You catch momentum. It's new. You persist through the winter. Then you learn to take advantage of the spring. And when things are moving and going, then you take advantage of that. Thirdly, you learn to take care of your crop. All summer long. You learn to take care of the crops all summer long. Now, when you've put the seed in the ground and then it's growing, I just came back from being with my dad and mom for Mother's birthday, and across the mountain, when I was growing up, you didn't see many cattle. It was all potatoes, cotton, soybeans. A lot of the farmers have gotten out of that business. Now there's just cattle everywhere. There's just cows. Just cows and cows and cows and cows. But back during those days of being potato farmers and cotton growers and soybeans, man, they had to take care of the crop. You prayed over, you hoped for, you plowed, you had to take care of the crop. Now watch this. In the spiritual realm, you must take care of the work of God in the summer while it's growing. Two things will happen. Mark, write these down. You're going to need these. All good things will be attacked. Anytime that you're seeing the crop growing, the harvest growing, everything good will be attacked. I'm telling you, America's going through this right now. And secondly, every value must be defended. If you've got a value in the company where you are, I'm here to tell you that when the crops are and things are beginning to rise, those values will have to be defended. Because someone said, well, you know, who came up with that idea? Well, that's what we're based on. You watch it at Chick-fil-A. The day will come when all the family's gone and they're going to want to open on Sunday. And someone will have to defend the value. I did not know till I tried to win a guy to Christ, and he was here this morning, I think. He keeps coming. He's the manager of a Publix. He told me the story that Publix used to be just like Chick-fil-A. I didn't realize that. Publix just had that Sunday deal but when all the family died off and there was transition, he said we still have some values different than other grocers, but he said we lost some things because the values were not defended. You mark it down. In the summertime, when the crops are, you hadn't harvested, but when the crops are in the field and when things are going forward, then God, or all good will be attacked. You can get ready. The wicked one will come, and every value will have to be defended. You have to say, that's the reason we do that. In this budget that's in front of us, Crawford already, he said, Pastor, would you share this? And it's about the cooperative program. That's one of our values. We've been given 10 cents on a dollar since I've been here. Done more than that in days gone by, but we've done that for these years. And somebody said, well, could we cut back there, do this? Well, we could. There's nothing in the Bible that says a church has to do that. But that's been a value that we've had. We have valued giving to our cooperative mission. You got to teach on that, and you got to help that, because it's easy to run get money from there when it could be spent elsewhere. And you have to decide, is that going to be one of our values or not? You defend those values. At your home, there'll be some values that you have. Man, I can remember when every family used to come to church on Sunday night. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here now, but that's just not the value in most homes anymore. It's different. See, when you're in that season, the good will be attacked, and every value will have to be defended. And then number four, you learn to handle the winters. You learn to take advantage of spring. You learn to take care of crops all summer. And then number four, watch this. You learn to reap in the fall without complaining. You learn to reap in the fall without complaint. Because when it's time to harvest, it's time to work. What got Israel in trouble in the wilderness? Yeah. Just a bunch of complaint. And friend, when it gets time to work, a lot of people, it gets time to bellyache and complaint. Bring complaints. I'm telling you, you got to learn to reap in the fall without complaint. You got to learn to reap with joy. And you better do it, because guess what's coming right after the harvest? Winter's coming again. You're going to have to learn to persist through that until you get back through the cycle. To every season, there is a season for everything, and every time, an event under heaven. There's a time for this, time for that. And you read all of those times there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Time to give birth, time to die, time to plant, time to uproot, time to kill, time to heal, time to tear down, time to build up, time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, a time to dance, time to throw stones, and a time to gather them up, a time to embrace, a time to shun embracing, a time to search, and a time to give up his laws, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart, and a time to sew together, a time to be silent, time to speak. There's a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time for war and a time for peace. They're all kind of seasons that we have. It's been my joy to walk with you for these 10,000 days through season after season after season. We got some more seasons to walk through. Amen. We're not done yet. Got things to do. Seasons to walk through. And somebody said, well, Pastor, where are we? Well, I'm here to tell you, you can take varied parts of our church and drop them in any one of these four seasons, any time of the year. Music may be in one thing and education in another. The pastor may be over here in one place and the recreation ministry in another. We walk in those seasons, but you got to learn to handle the winter, take advantage of the spring, take care of the crops in the summer, watch your values and the good that gets attacked, and learn to reap in the fall without complaint. So this morning, my wife is with her mother over the weekend. Had to go for a funeral. So this morning, as I normally do, I get up. My last thing I do is I go back in the dark little prayer closet, and I have a little prayer bench. My first church out of seminary, one of my deacons built it for me. It's a prayer altar. And I drop down on my knees, and around that, all in the floor, I have notes and different things that people have written that have just touched me, and I put them there. There's Kim, there's a quilt there that the quilting people did. It's got a cross in it. I have some people's pictures I pray for. Down here at the bottom, there's a sewer lid. Of our people made it for me. Because I often said I was sitting on a sewer lid in Garland, Texas when God spoke to me about becoming a pastor here. And so they made out of a plastic deal, they had it made for me, and they put it on there. And there's a scripture verse, and so I put my feet on that and I kneel. And this morning I was thinking about tonight and our seasons. And so I just went back through and I began to pray. I began to pray about all those seasons. Saying goodbye, for me, season. Saying goodbye to some old friends and coming to make new friends. Deciding with the church to build this building. Lord, what a season. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. I will never forget the day Liz and I walked in that back door after the evening service over in Passmore Hall, and we said, all right, we're going to take everybody over there, and we're going to let everybody see it for the first time. And we walked in here. My wife grabbed my hand. We walked about 3 feet inside. She said, I don't want to be a part of a church this big. I said, well, you know, you're kind of in this now. I mean, you know, the old song says, no turning back, no turning back. I mean, that was a season for us. It wasn't an easy season. We were walking in it. And so we came in here, and then we went through transition, and we built that children's deal. And of course, we walked through transition with staff. And they were not easy days, but we walked in it. Then we walked through with my own family, just talking about me. When our daughter got married, that was a big transitional time for us. And our son, we've talked about that, and the divorce that came is a big transition for us, season we'd never walked in before. And we walked through all of that, and then grandkids come, and that's another season that you walk in your life. Then we had hurricanes. Seems like every time God wanted to do something here, he sent a hurricane. It's like I was dumb as Jonah. He had to send a storm for me to hear him. I remember this building wasn't even finished, and I sat in that stairwell over there. Good Lord, I was scared to death. I was going to all blow away. It's time to trust God. Then when we started the Karis house, it came out of a storm. One of our neighbors over here in the backyard, I found him in line out here with a plate getting food. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm getting something to eat. I said, well, you hate God and hate me and hate the church. What are you doing? You've told me all that. I tried to win him to the Lord. And he said those words that changed my life forever. It was a season. He said, you know, Pastor, when you're hungry, organized religion looks pretty good. That's what he said. So my buddy Junior Hill used to say, I didn't cuss, but the grass turned brown where I spit. I'm telling you, I just said, oh, okay, go on. I didn't walk very far, and God said, you don't have to have a storm to do this all the time. That's why we have the Karis house, because God spoke to my heart out there. That's why we have Ministry Village at Olive. That's why we do what we do. That's the reason you'll find over $400,000 in his budget going in to do that. We could spend $2 million. You could just go on and on. But it was a transition time. It was a season that we walked in. We know what we were doing, but we learned. And so we were kind of coming through, and in Vision 25, and Warrington fell in our lap. Who was looking for that? I wasn't. Presto. God had another season for us to walk in. He's faithful, beloved. Oh, what a faithful Lord we have. And for every time in our life. And I can tell my story. Every one of you got a story just like that, where God's walked through seasons. I could tell part of John's story. You see, I could tell some of Stan's story, going to Birmingham, coming back. I could tell some of Sean's story from South Africa to Connecticut and here, Nam. I mean, I could, you know, a lot of that. I could tell Dan Beard's story, some of his sweet family with us all day today. Never forget the day that I called Dan in about being our administrator. Dr. Lewis said, why are you talking to him? Ain't no way that he'll come take that job. 30 minutes later, he said yes. He walked out and said, yeah, I'll do it. And Stan said, what do you know on him? I said, I know a lot of stuff on him. That's Amen. I had Tracy praying. That's how that worked, all right? It's just a season that God works us through. I don't know what season you're in right now, but he is the Lord of the harvest. And you can trust him every step of the way.